Irish director Neil Jordan is most famous for his films Mona Lisa, The Crying Game, and Interview with the Vampire. His new movie, The Good Thief, is a crime caper based on the French film Bob le Flambeur and stars Nick Nolte along with an international cast. Film critic John Powers has a review.
There may be no more notorious eccentric in Hollywood than Nick Nolte, who's been known to show up in restaurants wearing his bathrobe. Still, that reputation took a quantum leap forward recently, when he was arrested for driving under the influence, and the police released a photo of the actor with gaga eyes, rubbery features, and hair flaring from his head like the fronds of an exhausted anemone. This became the most famous mugshot in history, when Steve Martin cheaply used it to win laughs from a billion people during the Oscars. Nolte, it seemed, had become a joke. Except for one thing. Nick Nolte is also one of the world's great screen actors, and he proves it again in The Good Thief, an enjoyable fable about a casino robbery that's a wonderful antidote to nonstop war coverage. The scene is the French Riviera, and Nolte is Bob Montagnier, a down-on-his-luck gambler and thief who's addicted to two things, heroin and his profound sense of personal honor. A glorious ruin, Bob desperately needs something to give him purpose, and he finds it in a 17-year-old Eastern European girl named Anne, wonderfully played by newcomer Nuzza Kukinyadze, who's been brought over to France to become a prostitute. Bob rescues her, and this noble act jumpstarts his life. Soon, he's going cold turkey in preparation for one final glorious heist, an elaborate plot to steal millions in art from a casino in Monte Carlo. It's a scheme that gets him involved with several troublemakers, including a shady art dealer played by Ralph Fiennes, and a detective named Roger. That's the terrific French actor Checky Cario. Roger has already sent Bob to prison 6 times, but in classic crime picture fashion, he's as much a friend as a nemesis. Here, Bob and Roger's game of cat and mouse finds them talking together in a church.
Have you heard the story of the good thief, Roger?
No, I'm not religious.
No, neither am I, but when my mother told it, I guess it stuck. The good thief beside Jesus on the cross. And Jesus said to him, if I remember this right, tonight you will be with me in paradise. And the thought that there was a place in heaven for a thief always made me cry.
You want to make me cry now?
Oh, you gotta watch that cynicism, Roger. It's too easy in that job of yours.
I work on my attitude.
You sure?
The Good Thief is loosely adapted from Bob le Flambeur, the 1955 classic by Jean-Pierre Melville, the great French director who influenced everyone from Jean-Luc Godard to Quentin Tarantino. Melville was obsessed with huge questions of honor, destiny, and betrayal, and his original film was at once deadly serious and profoundly abstract. It unfolded with the algebraic precision of a story by Jorge Luis Borges. Neil Jordan's remake is also concerned with honor, but it's archer and less grave than the original. Jordan is far more interested in hanging out with an interesting collection of slippery characters than he is in the mechanics of the climactic heist. He turns Bob's story into a slouchy romp on the theme of what's authentic and what's fake. Bob owns a Picasso that may or may not be a forgery. He has a French mother who may or may not be French. And he's a criminal whose crookedness may possess more nobility than simply following the straight and narrow. What's undeniably real in all this is the movie's romanticism. This is Jordan's defining key signature. He made Mona Lisa and The Crying Game, after all. And he gives The Good Thief a dreamy old Hollywood sheen. As shot by Chris Menges, the south of France is swooningly glamorous, with sun-spanked daylight and mood indigo nights branded with the primary colors, especially the luscious blues of the Riviera underworld. This is the south of France as we all want to see it. But the romanticism runs even deeper than that. It extends to the conception of Bob, who's that most sentimental of figures, the noble criminal, who's like a lighthouse of salvation in the dark world he inhabits. Bob rescues the sexy young Anne, but even though she's willing, he doesn't take her to bed. He buys her elegant clothes instead. Finally, a man who knows what a girl really wants. And along the way, he enjoys a rebirth. When we first see Bob, he's a haggard junkie with the slitted eyes of a world-weary amphibian. By the final scene in Monte Carlo, he's strolling around in evening garb, capturing flashes of his youthful good looks. To be honest, all this makes The Good Thief the sheerest Hollywood fantasy. What props it up is Nolte, a great hulk of a man like Robert Mitchum or Marlon Brando, who acts with his whole body, wears his disillusion like a badge of honor, and has the primal force to embody a distinctively old-fashioned idea of masculinity, battered and strong and decent and doomed. A whiskey voice throwback, he's up to the mythic task that we want from a movie star. He can take a character like Bob, who's essentially an egghead's idealized portrait of a crook, and turn him into someone we can actually believe exists. At least until we walk out of the theater.
John Powers is film critic and media columnist for LA Weekly. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley.